اهلا. Anyone there?
Malka, I'm here. He's not on yet.
Okay. Do you have a question?
Oh, today's Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I've been working outside on that sewage pump thing, so I don't have one tonight.
Okay.
So maybe, do you guys have any?
Well, there was something I wanted to ask, but I just had a call from my grandson, so I didn't get to look up the commentary. So
okay.
I don't know that I can do it. I missed last Tuesday for whatever the Zohar was, and by the time I read it, and then I finally got around to listening to it because it wouldn't come up and let me save it. It didn't have a tab that said save in a new tab or something like that. So I had to listen to it by phone. And there was a comment. Do you remember about, I think it was meditating on the word F. Good evening.
Good evening.
Any questions?
Well, I was telling Malka that I wasn't able to. I just had phone calls from my grandson, so I didn't get to look up the commentary that I wanted to ask your question about. So I'm not sure I can put it into words just yet.
Okay. Well, somebody else just came on. So let me ask them first. Good evening to all. Does anybody have a question? Hi,
no,
Hannah.
Is that Daniel? Or is it Brian?
Randall.
Do you have any questions, Brandy?
No questions.
Hannah, you want to try?
Okay, I'll try. Last Tuesday, I missed the class. And like I say, I had company this afternoon, and then for the last 30 minutes, my grandson called from New Orleans. And so I didn't get to go look for the commentary. I was able to read it over the weekend, and I was able to listen to the recording. But I don't remember the title. But anyway, there was a reference in one of the pasuks that when we say the Shema, we should meditate on the particle et, you know, Aleph Tav.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm looking at the Shema, and I don't see an et, an Aleph Tav, until we get to the Vahavta. So is that the portion of the Shema that was being referenced?
Yes.
Okay. Now, today, I was going through my cart that I used to bring to my classes, and I had a lot stacked in there. And on the very bottom, I had a plastic folder with some things I had printed when I had joined Unity Zohar. And as I was going through it, it had the Eliyahu's Yes. And I had a few other handouts that dealt with Unity Zohar. And the very last sheet it was the Shema, the two verses, you know, the two lines that we say every time we're together, the Shema and the Baruch Shem. And then underneath that was the Vahavta. That's all that was on the handout. And I thought that was quite remarkable. So is that what we focus on as soon as we've... Another thing is, a lot of times, you know, I get up early. I get up at 5, so it's still dark. And I think the commentary also said you shouldn't speak to anyone before you've said that, but I thought we weren't supposed to say the Shema until dawn. So does that mean when Tony comes into the kitchen, I'm not supposed to talk to him if it hasn't gotten daylight yet?
Brandy, I heard your voice. Did you were saying something or adding something? Okay.
No, that wasn't me.
Okay.
That was. But yeah, I'd like to know about that too.
Okay.
If we're not supposed to talk to anybody.
Well, if you go back and read the commentary that Hannah's relating to, and she does remember which one it is, you're confusing different directions from different pesukim. And always remember, everything is relative. So what you're referring to, the pasuk was saying you should not speak to someone until you have said the Shema, meaning you go through your normal morning blessings. You go through everybody. If you're referring to the Orthodox procedure, you say the Mode Ani. You wash your hands. You get dressed. Then you say the morning blessings. Now, if it's in the morning blessings, not in the morning blessings, but in the preparation for the communal prayer, which starts with the, what's it called? With the Barhu. Prior to that, there's a number of individual preparation prayers, including the Ketoret and the Binding of Isaac and so forth. One of those is the two lines of the Shema Yisrael. So they're saying you should not speak to someone until you've said the Shema Yisrael. Now, there is an earliest time to say the Shema. Again, if you're following the Orthodox traditions, all of these recommendations is recommended to the Tzaddikim. And it's good to get into the practice of it, but you have to live your life on a practical level. So I don't know if you're saying the 18 morning blessings. I don't know if you're saying the first probably 40, 50 pages in Maisidur that precede the Barhu. If you're not going to the communal minions, the communal prayers, you have different procedures. It's always relative to the souls involved. So you really have to, rather than just say, take what the Zohar says or what I'm teaching, and say, oh, I have to do that, and then I have to follow this, and then I have to follow that. I will tell you what Rabbi Berg told me. I asked him if I could start laying tefillin. And he said, do you know why you lay tefillin? And I said, no. He said, when you know why, you can start laying tefillin. And the same thing applies here. If you know why we meditate on the etz, if you know why you need to say the Shema before you say hello to somebody else, then you can take that into your daily practice. But if you don't know the whys, then all you're doing is following someone else's command. And we know that following a command is idol worship. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying learn why before you take it into your daily practice. Now, where do you go to learn the why? You go to the verse in the Zohar that you read, that you vaguely remember. When you find it again, it means that it'll become clear to you, or you can ask a question of me about that pasuk, and then you will know, and then it will be time. Is it clear? Or clear as mud?
No, I'm fine with it. I just thought that because I came across this one sheet within what I had printed when I had joined Unity Zohar, and that was all that was on that sheet were the two lines of what, you know, the Shema and the Baruchu and then the Vahapa. And so...
It's not the Baruchu, it's the Baruch.
I'm sorry, what?
The two lines are the Shema Yisrael and the Baruch Shem.
Yeah.
The Baruchu is something else.
Not, but did I say Baruchu? Because I meant Baruch Shem. Okay.
Yes.
What I call what we say in our classes, the two lines. You know. And
right.
I didn't have. I know where the handout is, but I didn't get to pick it up because I had the phone call. And so anyway, okay.
I understood what you meant, but I was just correcting you in case you
okay.
meant the Baruchu. So,
well, my question really is this the portion that's to be said that has the et? That's basically what I'm trying to find
yes.
out.
And the answer to that is what. The word et, we always say, has no translation, right?
Right. Sign of the direct object.
And it's a grammatical use to be the indication of a direct object, because in Hebrew, unlike English, the verb can be in front of the subject of a sentence or behind it. The verb can be in front of the direct object or behind it. So you have to have a way of defining what is the subject of the sentence and what's the direct object of a sentence when you have multiple nouns in a sentence. And so the et is used for that purpose. But Kabbalistically, the et is the Shekhinah. Now, what is the Shekhinah? Earlier, I think yesterday, we read in the Zohar that the Shekhinah and Malchut of Zeranpin are the same. One is Malchut, one is Bina. The Shekhinah is Bina. But sometimes it's Malchut. It gets confusing because we jump around the Sephirot and we don't give the full listing of the Sephirot when we're talking. But the et in any sentence has the grammatical use, but it's also establishing a connection to the Shekhinah. And what we read today is that Abraham isn't called Abraham. Oh, excuse me. I read it today because I was preparing one of these sections of Lech Lecha that we haven't got to yet. I think it was section 34 or 35 because I did both of them today. But in that, there's a pasuk in that section that says that the et is a that Abraham had the hay entered to his name because the hay represents the Shekhinah and the Malchut of Zeranpin. And you'll notice I'm starting to call it Malchut of Zeranpin recently because I've noticed there's a difference in the way the Zohar refers to it. Normally, I used to say just Malchut, and that was always, Malchut was the physical world. And then we've been saying for the last few months that Malchut and the physical world are two different levels. But many times we will fall back and we'll say that the physical world is the Malchut, because it's the lowest level before you get into the negative system. But in reality, the negative system is above the physical world, because it's a spiritual entity, a spiritual system. So as we learn more Kabbalah, we change our vocabulary, we learn to use our vocabulary in different ways. Via hafta et Adonai Elohecha. Via hafta is and you shall love. It's future tense. That's the verb. But then you have Hashem is after it, and Elohecha is after it. Hashem is, we have a definition for Hashem, and we have a Elohecha, we have a definition for Elohecha. Both are nouns. Elohecha is usually translated as your God, meaning it's your Elohim. But Hashem is Yudkeh Vavkeh. Which of the two is the direct object? The et precedes Hashem in that verse. Therefore, Hashem is the direct object. So you shall love your God, Hashem. It would be the way it should be translated in English. But the word et is all of the energies that a vessel can handle. Because the first letter is Aleph, the last letter is Tav, meaning all 22 letters. That spells every word in Hebrew. Potentially every word is spelled between those two ends. The first and the last. Every word falls into that. Which means every vessel in the universe is there, and that's the essence of the Shekhinah. And the verse that I was referring to in the Zohar was saying that Abraham had to be connected to the Shekinah in order for Hashem to add the hay to his name. And it's not a coincidence that Hannah pulled out this sheet that it comes to the fore. There have been a number of times where she has printed things out, not had time to get to them and understand them, and then they come back. So the question Hannah needs to ask is this fact that I'm finding this again a time for me to include that, to learn more about that and draw it and bring it into my daily practice? And that's a question she has to ask herself, her intuition, to know whether it is or it isn't. And always know whatever decision Tana makes, it's the right one. So if she doesn't, she'll put it in the pile. She decides it's not a sign, it's not the right time, I don't have time. I'm getting these phone calls, I'm getting people who need my attention. So I'll wait until that time comes. And I will find that paper again when it gets buried under 700 other pieces of paper that I've printed out.
It's not lost. I know where it is. And I was
exactly.
So thankful I missed the class. I want to tell you, I was so happy I missed the class. Because during that time was the Tuesday before the storm. And,
right.
And, you know, I don't like to miss any classes. So you have to understand what I'm saying. Let me get through it to say that I'm happy that I missed the class. But when the storm was for the weekend, and I was getting really a lot of direction that I felt like was messages from Hashem or whoever about how to pray concerning this storm. And so I didn't have time to really get to the handout, and, you know, to the class that I missed, which was Zohar for, I guess, well, I'm not going to guess. Okay. All right. Well, as the after the storm was over, the next morning, sometimes I wake up and I hear something. You know, there's a voice that tells me something. But this time when I woke up, I didn't even have time to say the Modani, because this thought just dropped in my head, okay? It wasn't like a voice. And it was the idea that because the hurricanes were named alphabetically, that instead of waiting, and I always would look up the names of the hurricanes for the year, and the meanings of their names is what helps me know how to pray. And over the years, I could tell you some miraculous stories of what came about from those. So, and this one was very meaningful because Barry, an equivalent would have been Baruch. But anyway, that because the thought that just was dropped in my head before I even had a chance to open my mouth to say the Modani was that storms are named alphabetically. And instead of waiting until one begins to surface, to use the alphabet every day during the season or before the storms even form. Okay, then it was a couple of days later, because I couldn't get the recording to work. I think I mentioned it to you. I never would get a caption that would say, save as, or save as a new tab, or something like that, where it would show up on my computer screen. So I had to listen to the recording on the telephone, which I didn't like because I can't replay part or go back a little way, or if I get a disturbance from a phone call or someone coming out, you know, coming over, that then I have to start the whole thing all over. But I finally got to listen to it. And, of course, that was another thing that was mentioned in that particular Zohar commentary, was about, and when I thought about the Olivet, I thought, well, what spiritual weapon goes with the Olivet? And I thought, oh, it would be the sling, not the sword, which I had matched up with the storm of Barry. And then when I listened to the recording and read the commentary, that was mentioned in it. It actually said a sling, and then you had added the commentary that we as your students, that we could do the Olivet with the vowel of that letter. And I was the one that did that handout for you. You know, so I knew very well what it was. And that's why I could say to myself, I'm so glad I missed the class. Because I heard the voice before, or not the voice, but dropped in my head, I would have thought, you know, it didn't come from my having participated with the class or read the handout first. That came first.
Understood.
You know, so that was confirmation to me that direction was already being given to either lessen the forthcoming storms or prevent them, you know. So anyway, that was an important commentary.
And I thank you for that. But thank you for sharing the process that you went through. So are there any other questions?
Oh, sorry.
So we have three classes tomorrow, Thursday. One is at noon West Coast time for the connection to the Tikkun Chatzot or Raphael. And then there's a deep Zohar class at 4:30 and a regular Zohar class at 7 p.m. There will be a class, we'll be continuing Psalm 69 study on Friday morning. And I bid you all Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.